SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
The game is on the line and I've only got a shot clock's worth of time to tell you about Subway's $6.99 footlong deal. That's right, order now in the Subway app and get any footlong on the menu for just $6.99. Fresh sliced deli meat, fresh crispy veggies, too much good stuff. Get it now on the Subway app. Any footlong for just $6.99. Use code 699FL now. Only here for a limited time. Redeemable at participating U.S. restaurants, Subway app, online orders only. Add-ons, additional plus tax, additional fees apply on delivery. Excludes footlong snacks. Limited time.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, it's your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Thursday, the 6th of March 2025. The Australian share market fell to a 10-week low today. We'll have the details with Elizabeth Tien from Citi in a few moments. But first, to Tropical Cyclone Alfred, the fact that it's approaching a capital city, Brisbane, means many businesses will need to close, slowing its economy in addition to the impact on its residents. Brisbane City Council, for example, says modelling shows around 20,000 properties could be affected by storm surge or flooding alone, and that's just in its council area. But it's less than the 35,000 homes that were materially damaged during the 2022 floods, with insured claims of about $6.4 billion then. Ratings agency S&P Global says while the path and strength of the cyclone is uncertain, similar events suggest insured losses of more than $2 billion. And the last major tropical cyclone, that's Debbie in 2017, incurred claims of about $1.8 billion. But one of Queensland's largest insurers, Suncorp, has already warned, given the anticipated high volume of claims, there may be some delays. So for more, I spoke with Craig Bennett. He's a credit analyst at S&P Global Ratings.
The cyclone reinsurance pool covers the home and contents for residential cover. But when you talk about commercial exposures, that's where these are worn by the insurers. And, yeah, covering larger buildings, they'll be naturally outside of that cover. So subject to, normal insurance losses. So they'll be straight to the bottom line for the insurers.
Yeah, can we go into that in more detail since you've just touched on it? This is the federal government's Australian cyclone reinsurance pool, right? What exactly is it? How does it work? And how does it affect the insurers?
Yeah, it's a good question. So it's only been in operation for really one full year. It's where the insurers, primary insurers, seek to transfer the risk to this pool. The pool then charges for that risk transfer, and in return, it takes the full risk within defined parameters. So within, say, 24 hours or 48 hours after the event is concluded. But the risks that are transferred are very much of the home and contents, the smaller scale business and the like. So when you're thinking about larger scale businesses and exposures such as business interruption, they'll not be covered. In terms of how it works, so the risk transfer to the pool then would meet the claim. To the extent that the pool doesn't have resources to make all claims, it will then go into and draw on the federal government guarantee, which is up to $10 billion. If that's not enough, which we think it probably is, must be a really big event for it to be exceeded, the federal government will top up that pool.
How well positioned are the insurers for this type of event? I know that IAG, for example, yesterday tried to reassure shareholders. I think today, though, we heard from Suncorp at least warning customers to expect delays in managing these claims. So how are the insurers coping?
Yeah, they've put in a lot of effort in terms of building out their risk management and response capabilities, particularly around large events. A recent example was the New Zealand twin events, where they had over 100,000 claims they needed to manage in a very short period. I've noted all of the larger insurers have enacted their disaster recovery plans, emergency recovery plans. So they're ready to respond to claims when they do come in. They have very solid reinsurance programs in place to take up risk after they meet their own sort of internal maximum event retention levels.
So overall, And I know we don't know the full impacts yet, obviously, but how do you think the economy is set to weather the economic impacts?
Yeah, it's a good question. There were a lot of capacity constraints in the last sort of 12 to 18 months. A lot of those have moderated. So, you know, the supply of labour, for instance, materials have been reducing. So the cost of claims increases has moderated. We feel that there could be good capacity to respond. Naturally, there will be demand for a lot of tradespersons, as well as the supply of materials that can put pressure on existing sort of infrastructure. But it's very difficult to say until we see the extent of the damage.
That's Craig Bennett there from S&P Global Ratings. Now, the Banking Association is encouraging anyone experiencing financial difficulties to contact their bank as early as possible. And depending on individual circumstances, banks may defer credit card or loan repayments, restructure existing loans, allow for temporary overdrafts or emergency credit limit increases, and waive or refund fees and charges. Now, Market Day on the SBS On The Money podcast. Let's take a look at the Australian share market now, which fell today. The S&P ASX 200 down 0.6% to 8,094. That is a 10-week low. For more, I spoke with Elizabeth Tian. She is the Global Markets Equity Derivatives Director at Citi. So, Liz, the ASX is down again today, hitting a fresh 10-week low. That's despite gains in Wall Street. How are investors navigating Donald Trump's trade tariffs? And are there other things hitting the market?
Oh, well, Ricardo, it really is all about the headlines at the moment. It is the tariffs. And it's very hard for investors to know what to do. They're really sitting on the sidelines because we don't know how, you know, who's going to get hit with these tariffs. Trump has said nearly every country is going to get hit. Every day we're getting changes to it, you know, Canada, Mexico, but not auto, that's getting delayed. So you don't know how long, you don't know who, you don't know. There's so much uncertainty. So what that's resulted in is investors sitting on the sidelines. A lot of CEOs of companies don't know what to do, so they're sitting on the sidelines, and you can really start to see this flow through in the data in the US. You know, you've got consumer sentiment softening, you've got retail sales softening, and all that's flowing through, and that very ugly word, Ricardo, has started to come up, stagflation, because we know that tariffs are inflationary. But it takes quite a while for these supply chains to kind of move about if they do. So that's not helping markets at the moment.
How's this flowing through to commodities? Because we've seen today oil hit a 3-year low. And what about currencies?
Oh, absolutely. So, you know, oil, we're quite bearish on oil at the moment. A couple of reasons for that. You know, OPEC has talked about bringing more production onto the market, more supply. But at the same time, we've got all these fears of, you know, the tariffs, the uncertainty, you know, slowing data from the US, which has been a big economic engine for world growth the last couple of years, really start to flow through. So there's, you know, that fear of oversupply in a slowing global growth environment. So oil is lower, we're bearish on that. At the same time, currencies, we know that the US dollar was outperforming. That's given up a lot of its gains since the Trump election. And that's really on the back of, you know, the data that I mentioned coming out of the US. For the last 1-2 years, we've talked about US exceptionalism. And now, you know, investors, economists, they're talking, well, do we get stagflation instead? US yields are coming down. They're now pricing in possibly 3 rate cuts on the back of all this in the US. That's weak for the US dollar, and that's obviously seen our Aussie dollar pop on the back of that.
I mean, I know it's not your brief, right? But if you guys are bearish in oil and oil's already at a 3-year low, is Donald Trump good for lower petrol prices then?
Well, absolutely. It should flow through, Ricardo. And, you know, if we are bearish on US on oil, we've seen it break that 70, US dollar barrel. And the other thing, I guess, that is also helping oil soften is we know that Trump is talking to Putin. Potentially, Putin and Trump are going to try and negotiate these conversations with Iran. And therefore, that means we might not get, you know, in the past, it's always been fear with Iran that we could see an oil spike. That at the moment is also something to consider when looking at the oil price.
The other thing making headlines in Australia anyway, and it's starting to make headlines globally too, Tropical Cyclone Alfred. How is that impacting the markets?
Yeah, so obviously, you know, it's front of mind for a lot of you know, local Australian investors at the moment. We've seen the insurance sector sell off the last 2 days. You know, stocks like Suncorp, QBE, IAG. It's very hard to quantify this at the moment because obviously, you know, the peak of the cyclone is supposed to come through on the weekend. And until we see, you know, exactly how bad it gets, you know, how bad the flooding gets and the damage, it's hard to quantify at the moment. But that's a sector that's going to be really impacted from this.
And finally, where do you see the opportunities, though, for investors?
Look, I think in the short term, that because of all the uncertainty, investors are sitting on the sidelines. But we have at the same time seen also a shift in flow of where money is going. With the uncertainty in the US, the outperformance of the US markets in the last, you know, 1, 2 years, that started to switch. We've now seen Europe start to outperform. We've seen China start to outperform in the last few months because obviously valuations are very different between US, you know, they were at quite lofty valuations compared to the rest of the world. So we have started to see a bit of a switch in flow of capital. So it'll be interesting where, you know, some new opportunities might come from there.
That's Elizabeth Tian there from Citi. Don't forget, if you do enjoy the podcast, to give it a rating or review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts and to click that subscribe button.
This SBS On the Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.